Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in the house of God tonight with the dear people of God. And I know everybody's hearts and minds here because of the work Brother Leninger did in overseeing the Haitian work. that our minds and hearts and thoughts are and prayers are on Haiti. We've got many ministers that we haven't heard from down there. They've lost a lot of power. I do know that there are cell phones and stuff that have gotten out because I've... and internet has worked because I've seen a girl there uploaded a video from her cell phone on YouTube about the... So I know some communication is out, but very little. And, we've got all those brethren that we hadn't heard from Brother Joseph, Brother Preval. And then a former member of this church, Sister Hodges, Brother Brett told me she went down there and they hadn't heard from her. She landed at 3:30, and what time that earthquake hit? 5 o'clock or something like that. And the destruction, if you've seen TV, is just awful. People dying right there in the street. They can hear people hollering underneath the rubble. They can't get to them. It's just a horrible, horrible tragedy, catastrophe. And so we're going to pray tonight for them. Let's just take special prayer for them right now, the ones in Haiti. Let's just stand and ask God to help our brothers and sisters in Haiti. Oh, God, dear Lord, you know the situation. You're mindful, oh, God. Lord, help the rescuers find those, Lord. We ask you to help the relief efforts get there quickly, Lord, and to touch the ones, Lord. Help them, Lord. Let the ones who do have loved ones, let them be able to get calls out to let them know that they're okay. Dear Jesus, we know we appreciate you, Lord. Believe in you, Lord God. You will take care of them. Oh, God, we petition you and ask you tonight, oh, God. Oh, in the name of your dear Son. Hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, merciful God. Dear Lord, you can help them. You can help them, oh God. We know you'll be with them and help them. Dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Dear Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated. Hallelujah. Well, we singing that song tonight. Lord, don't let me fail you. Don't let me fall. And I'm telling you, I have failed the Lord, but I have failed. but is it because of anything the Lord did? It's because my lack of understanding what the Lord was wanting to keep from. What the failure was. If I send you on a... Brother Durham, if I send you out to get a spud wrench and you don't know what it is, you're going to fail. Sometimes we don't know what the Lord is wanting us to do. So we're doomed to failure. If we don't know... Where's the scripture at, Brother Durham? Says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth for the manifestations of the sons of God. Romans, where is that at? Romans 8. Let's read that. Well, it's in Romans 8. Okay. What verse is that? 23? Okay. Yes. Yes, let's start in 18. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Remember that verse, because I want to come back to it. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation. This is one I want. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Manifest what? Manifest Christ. What was Christ? Christ was God's love manifested in humanity. That's the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's what the world is waiting to see. The world is waiting to see a manifestation of the sons of God. They're really not waiting to see devils cast out. They're really not waiting to see the dead rise. Cancer being healed, although I believe all its greatness, all of work of God, they're waiting for a manifestation of something else. They're waiting to see a people of God that will manifest God's love. Yeah. The foundational message of the body of Christ, charity. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about Brother Souders. Last couple days, and how he preached charity. He preached charity, love God's people, and when he forgive your enemies, it become a part of him. I had a wise man tell me one time, you cannot love until you know that you are loved. That's the biggest part of accepting forgiveness from God. Accepting Christ, what He done for us. There's no way we can manifest His love until we realize we are loved. And we feel that love in our heart. Something's happened to me. God's done something to me. As, what does the scripture say? It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. In our weak, horrible, decrepit state that we were all in, born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Nobody has to teach these little kids. Probably in the first 10 words they learn, the first word they learn is mine. Mine. How they pick that up so quick? That's because they've had another spirit manifested in front of them. It wasn't Christ. It was Adam. That's what's been manifested in front of them. But Jesus come to cut off the lineage of Adam. And he said there's a new lineage that you can be born of. A royal lineage. James said, you fulfill the royal law when you love your neighbor as yourself. A fulfillment. You know what? Who is your neighbor? you know, it's, boy, it almost sounds, now I'm just talking about me. When we start talking about turn the other cheek, love your neighbor as yourself, that's almost seem like, you know, in my mind, when I first hear it, it sounds like my co-workers, people I brush, you know, the literal next door neighbor that's treating me wrong. But Paul narrowed it down to men, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Number one cause of divorce. You can say this and you can say that. Selfishness. That's the number one cause of divorce in the world. Because we never got rid of mine. My rights. What I want. Me, 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 me. But you can't overcome that in the flesh. Oh, you could get some of the men's counseling and their ways, and they tell you how to do this, and they tell you how to do that. But unless you experience the love of God firsthand, the quartet sometimes sings, I drew a blank. You'll never know until it happens to me. Yeah, if we got two songs, don't we? You never know until it happens to you. Sometimes you can get a little bit distracted, though. You forget. Something comes along. You know, it's so easy for the... It was every church that Paul started. And he, we get more record of it with him than we do with the Jewish churches, because we don't have a big record of the Jewish churches. We have more record of the Gentile churches. So Paul goes out and starts a church. They receive the love of God. They start sharing the love with one another. And along comes these guys and tell them, God's love isn't good enough. You've got to keep the law. But they didn't. But what was bizarre is they were already keeping the law. They were loving one another, treating each other right. And these guys come in and say, no, you got to be circumcised. You got to keep the feast days. You got to rest on the Sabbath. You got to do this and you got to do that. And so they were bewitched. Paul called and said they were bewitched. So they started trying to do all this stuff. And when they did, James points it out. When he is talking to the Jewish churches, why are there fighting among you? You guys are having knockdown dragouts in the church. This should not be so. Because you're lusting. Well, when you, it's the same spirit that Cain had. Abel understood. It's going to take a sinless, pure life for my sin. And Cain said, hey, I can do better than that. I can do better than that. I can dig down in this earth. I can produce all this. Look at all I've done for God. I've got corn, and I've got tomatoes, and I've got okra, potatoes. Look at this big, and I spent years working on this. And God said, but Cain, all I wanted was a lamb, because there ain't nothing you could do that's good enough for your problem. Ain't nothing good enough. And you can spend your whole life trying to win God's love when He already loves you, and He has one thing that He wants you to work on. You know, I believe that's why Brother Souders got the revelations he got. because he put the priorities right. Love. Charity. In 1 Corinthians 13, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not the love of God manifested in my life, charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I'm just a ding-dong. Making noise. And oh, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. He said, the gift of prophecy, the understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can move mountains. We got churches out here. Faith, 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 faith. You can have this and you can have that. And all they're building on is a spirit of man that God is trying to remove out of our lives. Because you don't have to live in poverty. You can live in a nice house and drive a fancy car. That's that mind, selfish spirit that Jesus said, that's not manifestation of me. That's a manifestation of Adam. And then he goes on, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. He's talking about things that the church still did. They were commanded to take care of the poor. And though I give my body to be burned. I read a really nice message the other day. It said God doesn't want us to be willing to give our life for him, but he wants us to give our life to live in him through his death. Doth it not seem? Okay, then he says, I give all my goods to the poor. Jesus told the rich young ruler, sell all you have and follow me. But Paul is saying something a little bit different because it's in a different context. And though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, let's just take the word charity because maybe it's too generic of a term. And have not the love of God manifested in my life. The love that would cause me to be self-sacrificing to my wife, where I put her needs and my children's needs above my wants and desires. It profited me nothing. I could, Brother Smith talking about a guy named Quotum Smith, could quote the Bible chapters upon chapters verbatim. That's fine and dandy. But if he doesn't have God's love manifested and he don't treat people right. It's easier to treat a stranger right than it is your family right. Oh, we can put on a real good airs for the stranger, the guy next door, or the waiter or waitress waiting for you at the coffee shop, or your co-workers. But when you get home, and I'm picked on the guys, and your husband didn't pick his dirty socks up off the floor, and you say, you never do nothing around here. All you do is watch TV. You come home. Or you're out tinkering in the garage or whatever it is you do. Or vice versa, you turn around and tell your wife, well, I do too do stuff around here. It's more than 15%. Inside joke for those. I won't expound. How about that? Guess what, Sister Rochella? That boat you're in is full. You are not alone. And neither is John. We're all in this together. Okay, let's see what this love of God, how what happens when it's manifested in our life. It suffers long and is kind, and it envieth not, and it vaunteth not itself, and it is not puffed up, and does not behave itself unseemly, and it seeketh not its own. Because it's always thinking of others. It's not easily provoked. You know, you left your socks on the floor again. I'm sorry, I'll pick that up. Instead of, well, you didn't fix me breakfast this morning. It does not behave itself unseemly. Oh, I got that. I already read that. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You hear a little rumor about somebody that may be a little bad about them, but you don't want to hear that. You want to hear what's true. Paul says later in his work about the things to think about in Philippians, it bears all things. It bears all things. I'm willing to bear. When my wife can bear my shortcomings and believe with all things. When she can bear my shortcomings and believe that I'm going to change, she'd be doing good. I could say the same thing around to her. And it never fails. Whether they be prophecies, they're going to fail. I've heard false prophecy before of y'all. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. I've seen people that love the manifestation of the Spirit. They could not let God's love be manifested in their heart. And then manifestations went away. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy part, but that which is perfect is come. Then that which is in part will be done away. What is the perfect? It's perfect, pure love of God. I'm telling you. He's trying to do a work in our lives. He's already forgave us. He's already let us be born of a spirit. We quote the scripture, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, that are called according to His purpose. But do we believe it? Do we really believe God is love and everything that He does in your life? Everything. He's only motivated by love to do it. It's hard for us to comprehend because everybody else in this world has a motive that's selfish. But God's love isn't selfish because he's love. It's a higher love than we can comprehend. So many people out here are seeking today to be loved. They can't do it. They can't find it, and they can't do it themselves because they have not received it. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and thought as a child. Mine, mine, mine. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall even know as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, and these three, but the greatest is charity. He's telling them our focus, our main priority is charity. love. Don't forget it. Another place that says to put on charity. In times past, we've used that term so generic of putting on charity that it became, we used it in the place of the word tolerant. Oh, so-and-so's grinding on you? Well, you need to put on charity. Brother, you just need to put on charity. Brother Michael's up, and I know you don't like him. Put on charity. It's just tolerance. You're just telling him to tolerate me. Tolerate one another. But love is work. And talk is cheap. I can tell that woman right there, I love her all day long. But if my actions are selfish every day, she's going to grow tired of my words. In the same way, I could be back this way. She can tell me she loves me, but she don't mean it. She'll lose respect for me too. You don't keep your word. You don't do what you say. You don't do your part. You're always selfish. You're always putting your needs first. And then I wonder, well, why don't I have any respect in my home? And then it leads, how am I going to ever win somebody for Christ when I can't even win my own family? That's why Paul gave the instructions to women how to win their spouse. And those same instructions would apply either way. I'm telling you, when God starts opening your eyes to whom the person, the man or woman that he wants you to be, the first thing you see is what you ain't. But you got to remember what I said a minute ago. God is love. He's only motivated by love. And he only shows you these things, what you can be, because he knows that's what he can make you be. That's what he knows what he can cause you to be. Because he knows he's called you to be that. When you start going in that direction, you start grabbing your garments of charity and start putting them on. It's work. You're going to work. Hallelujah. That's just some thoughts that the Lord has been dealing with me about. That's the only thing a minister can do is minister or share with the people what God's been dealing with his heart and life about. And I'm telling you, though, when God's doing something, he's doing something. I'm telling you, when you get this love, when you really see it and how you're supposed to manifest God's love, the same way Christ manifested his love toward all humanity, when you realize you're supposed to share that same love with those that are around you, and he starts giving you the tools, this world is going to be turned upside down for him. You know, I've heard it said, I think we've mentioned it before here in Bible study or somewhere, says, people do not like it when we call ourselves the body of Christ. Well, they won't have a problem with us being called the body of Christ if we're manifesting Christ. That's what they want to see. They want to see Christ manifested. They feel when they walk in the door, they see families that are knit together in love, and then each other's families knit together because love is outpouring from all of us. And when you see that happen, just like in the days of Brother Souders, where knowledge was given, I think we're going to be just, our heads are going to open up like a funnel. We'll receive things from God because we'll be worthy of it at that time. We'll have demonstrated that we got what we're supposed to get, and we can go on with more. Hallelujah. I wanted to welcome, is it Robertson? Robert with a T, Robertson? Alvin Robertson? He's here tonight. He's pastor down in Pine Bluff. If you feel to say anything tonight, we just wait on the Lord, and you're welcome to come up and speak behind the pulpit or whatever. That's just kind of how we do things here. And but we'll just wanted to open the service up for everybody, give him my thoughts, and then we'll take up prayer requests for the local needs before we dismiss tonight. How about that? Praise God. It's good to be in here. Oh, I want to say Brother Smith is going to Fort Lauderdale meeting in the morning early. And so he was trying to get some last-minute things done like he always does before he goes. And a lot of times if he leaves on Thursday, he don't come home Wednesday night. So, my mom, my grandma's sick. And my mom stayed home with her, and I'll talk more about that at the end of the service.
Could never ever outlove the Lord. and how much of a blessing it is to be in service on Wednesday night, because some Wednesdays I have to work. And I was thinking about what Brother Michael was saying. I've really been working on some of the stuff that he's been talking about, and I've really realized some of those things, how that, you know, we can talk about how we love people all day long, but unless they see it by example, then, you know, after a while, like he said, people get tired of hearing those words. So I've really been examining myself and look at how I can let the love of God flow through me, and what it means to put on the mind of Christ, and, you know, exactly what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about. And it takes letting God shine out through you and letting him correct you, and realizing where you're wrong in certain situations. That's what I've realized. And sometimes it's tough, because you really have to learn to put off the nature that we naturally have and to not let that rule your life. And that takes, from what I've been understanding lately, that takes putting on the mind of Christ and letting the Holy Ghost shine through you and develop in you and come out in you, in the way that you do treat your wife and your family. And that rolls into the way that you treat the people around you at work. Like Brother Michael said, it's sometimes it is easier to treat strangers, but also in business, sometimes you get aggravated at people, or you have a tendency to. So it takes work in all those areas. And just really thankful, though, that God allows us to put on the mind of Christ, so that we can overcome those things in our natural man that does not want to allow us to treat people right. And I've noticed a really big difference, you know, in our office. It starts with the way you treat your wife, because, you know, people, Angie works with me sometimes, and people really watch the way that I treat her, because they kind of, in a sense, know that the way that I treat her is probably how I'm going to treat them eventually in some way, shape, or form. And so I really have to watch what I do and what I say. But back to what Brother Michael's talking about, I don't want to just be doing it in an outward manner for the fleshly appeal, just so I can please people and let everybody around me know that, you know, that I'm going to treat them good. I want it to come from the inside out, from the heart of God, and that being part of the Holy Ghost coming out of me, and not just trying to get in some kind of mode every day where, in the natural, you know, I can keep myself in a certain state of mind to treat people like that. So I'm really thankful that we do have, you know, the Spirit of God living in us, and that he does help us he develops that mind of Christ in us through the situations that we go through in life. And especially towards your wife and your children. And it's a learning process. I've really been thinking about how when you start desiring help in those areas, that you really have to, God has to show you what is and what isn't. And like Brother Michael said, you really get to see yourself, and you start recognizing more things that need work on. And then you realize how much more you need God. And then you, like today, I was thinking, well, how much of this stuff do I really even do at all? You know, I mean, how much does he work through me just in everyday life? I think that sometimes I don't even realize the strength that he's giving me until just for a second he might take his hand off of me, and then I realize, oh my God, you know, you've really been carrying me this whole time, Lord. It wasn't me all along at all. And as a human being in our nature, you know, I get the idea sometimes that I am doing it myself. And it's a harsh realization that we're really not, that he's carrying us every step of the way, and he's helping us. And in the sense that as he develops us, it's him that's working through us and not ourselves anymore. That's what I'm getting at. The more that we let him out and let him do his work in our life, it's really him doing it through us. It's not us. And that's really what I'm beginning to realize, is the extent that he does that as we allow him to shine in our life and allow him to develop inside of us. So I'm really thankful for the walk that I have with God. And it is, you know, you do learn something new every day walking with him. You learn how much more you appreciate him. especially when you see the disasters that are happening in this world and the safety that we have. And, you know, if my life was gone today, I mean, as long as I was as close as I could be to him and I did what he asked me to do today, I know that everything else will be taken care of. And like Brother Michael said, you know, sometimes you don't even know exactly what it is. So I'm glad that he has mercy on us, that he doesn't just instantly judge us if we don't get the point right away, and that he will show us and keep showing us until we get what he's trying to give us so that we can actually walk in it. So I'm very thankful for that. And thankful that we haven't had anything happen that's like what happened in Haiti, because that really made me realize just how quick you can be there and then gone, you know. And that's we know we only have a few years on this earth anyway to do what God's asking at us as it is, so I couldn't imagine how much more difficult it would be to just have things shortened around you that much and then still have to deal with the things, you know, that we have to deal with in life. So I'm really thankful for that. But I know that as we allow God to develop in us more and more, and to the point where he does perfect his love in us so that we can be that true light to the world, that fully manifested light, I know that if he did decide to take us out early, then that's just what he had for our lives. So I'm very thankful that he has his hand in everything, and that he does have a plan, and that he knows what he's doing, and that he takes care of all that, and we don't have to worry about it. We just have to do what he is asking out of us right this second, and he'll take care of the rest.
Can y'all hear me? Amen. Some of y'all know I'm Pastor Robinson. I want to thank all of the men of God for inviting me to come up again. Will y'all do me a favor? Will y'all put your hands for these men of God up here? Can y'all do that? Amen. Shortly, I just wanted to say thank you. I told the young lady I wasn't going to say anything. I just came to relax. I don't get off on Wednesday hardly ever either, brother. But Brother Mike, is it Brother Mike? Pastor Mike? Okay, he shared something that really did stir up my spirit, and it's about love. And one more thing, how many of y'all glad to be here tonight? Come on, are you glad to be here tonight? Out of all the things going on, it's a great place to be, ain't it? And I'm excited about that, but what he shared was, when he started talking about love, is so important, because I recognize in my spirit that that's the foundation of who God is, and he's right about that, and I love that. But, you know, the thing I want to share with you is this, is what God put in my heart. Is he's so connected to what's going on, is love does start, where does it start? At home, and then you do what? You spread it out, right? And so that's one of the things that is so important. And I recognize the devil, the adversary, the enemy, the satanic attacks don't want you to love no one. He don't want you to love your neighbor. He don't want you to love anybody. And the Bible talks about God is love, and that's who we got to be. But one thing I've learned in life about love is this. Love starts with my relationship with God. Come on, say amen. Your relationship with God helps you have a strong love life. If you don't spend time with God, you won't have the kind of love that you really should have. Tolerance, love, tolerance. I like that, because that's what we do a lot. We begin to get to a point when we stop having our relationship with God, we just start what? Tolerating. And you can't do that. So if we're going to be strong people in Christ, how many know we got to stay in that closet? We got to keep our prayer closet on fire. We got to be able to let God put in us what we need, so when we come out, we can endure those persecution. How many know they still lie on you? How many know they still do those things that you don't want them to do? So your test is, can you love in spite of all that? The Bible says when Jesus went to the cross, he was the one that was talked about. He was the one that was scorned. He was the one that was persecuted. He was the one went through all that, and he hung on the cross, and he said a very powerful thing. Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Many times we're going through things. We still got to love. God is testing your love. People do want to see, are you real? Well, how are you going to be real? Are you in that closet? Do you have an awesome relationship with God? He talked about marriages. I love that. The Bible told me to dwell with my wife according to knowledge because she's the weaker vessel. But the key is my prayer won't have any power. It says that my prayer won't be hindered. So, yes, it's important for us to know what love is. And he broke that down very well. 1 Corinthians 13 told you what it is, what it does, and what it does not do. And we got to get better at that because the world is looking. I appreciate all of you all. I just want to spend a little bit more time tonight. I got a few more moments. But I did enjoy everything that I heard. And I guess I like when they say the freedom of it is, when I leave, I want to leave out on fire. How many of y'all want to leave out on fire? I want to leave out on fire. I want to leave out ready to face the world, ready to still walk my love walk. Because Jesus said, if I'm in the light, I will not fall in darkness. I will not be in darkness if I just stay in the light. Follow that light. Because when you leave here, you might go to the gas station. Somebody might not like you. You still got to love them. Amen. And the worst, one of the toughest challenges, Jesus said, he says, you got to love them that persecute you. You know they on purpose trying to misuse you. And he told me to love them anyway, my enemy. That is a very awesome command. And I leave this verse with you. How many of y'all know what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no what? No law. When we stay in that, we let the Spirit of God, the fruit of God, keep coming out. You above everything that the devil's trying to keep us under. Then we are fulfilling the great command of God. Pastor Mike, you start a powerful thing. God been dealing with you about that. I'm telling you right now, he's dealing with all of us about that. And sometimes we need to get our gas tank and our memory bank back into that. Because we get to going every day. And, sometimes you just may get to a point where you may say something to your wife that you shouldn't have said. And you love her, but you didn't pay attention to that detail. So the enemy tries to use that little thing and begin to create it. But when we get to hearing this, hey, make sure you love her. Vice versa. I like that vice versa. Because if you do that, it gives them that impression. Well, not only did God tell him, he did tell me too. And I love that, and it really sparked something in me because I was thinking on something else in my spirit when I came, but you hit back on something I taught on, and it's so important because the Bible says without love, faith doesn't work. And the Bible says without faith, we can't please God. So we got to keep these connections here to please God with faith, but you can't have faith without love. Very powerful foundation tonight. Hey, God bless you for just a few moments I had. I appreciate everybody.
For helping me in a situation at work. There's this girl, she's nice to me and everything, but at work I'm the hostess at Cracker Barrel, and there's a certain way I have to do my job for so everybody can get seated properly and all that. And I know it's taken me a while to get it, get the cobwebs out, relearn how to do stuff. But I've pretty much got it all together, but this one person is always going to the manager about me. She's not doing her job right. She keeps skipping, da da da, and so on. And so the manager keeps coming up to me. She wrote me up for it. and I knew in my mind and in my heart, I know I'm doing my job right, but I'm just going to listen to her. She's my boss, and And so it happened again. And she keeps coming at the servers are not supposed to come and look and see what I'm doing. They're just supposed to do their job. And if they have a problem, they go to the manager. Well, she did it the second time. manager told me. I said, okay, and I explained, I know what I'm doing. This is what I did, and this is why. And because at Cracker Barrel, we let people sit where they want, and so that just kind of messes up my job. So anyway, and so, but we like to please our guests and let them be comfortable wherever they want to be. So anyway, today, as I was leaving, she asked me to come in the office, and there was another supervisor in there doing stuff. And anyway, she said, I just want you to know that this person came to me again and was talking to me about seating again. And I looked up on the computer of where everybody had their tables, and I looked at what you had written down, and everything you have is right. So I know you're doing your job right. And I just want you to know that I'm going to deal with this. And so I just was like, thank you, Lord. Because I told her, I said, you know, I saw her up there looking to try and figure out if I was doing something wrong, and I just bit my tongue. And when I said that, the other manager that was in there just looked at me like, wow. You know, that I didn't just blow up at her and go off or anything. And I told her, I said, you know, I know that if I'm going to vent, it's just supposed to be to you, a manager, and not to other, you know. I didn't say this, but I said, I'm not going to go and bite somebody's head off. You know, that's just not me. And so, but anyway, I thought, you know, thank you, Lord, for helping me to get that, to show them that, you know, that I can be like you and just be patient and pray to God. I know I'm doing what's right, and just help them to see that I know what I'm doing, sort of.